You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 17 November. Japanese GDP data year on year came in minus 1.8%. That wasn't as bad as expected. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Jimmy Muyaha. The big story, of course, after market close on Friday, sovereign upgrade from Standard & Poor Global, and with a positive outlook. And then we'll touch on Richemont results. We're going to be chatting with CIO at Prescient Investment Management, G20, and looking beyond the headlines, Scott Cooper, Marriott, how they're positioning portfolios. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, Bloomberg: South Africa moves ahead with nuclear power expansion plans. A new plant to be built in Daneyfontein near Cape Town will add 4 gigawatts of nuclear capacity. Business Day: AngloGold Ashanti adds 90 billion to market cap in a week. Gold major share price gained 15% as investors welcome a new growth strategy. Morning markets. The US was mixed, but almost flat, well off the lows. S&P was down 0.05% after being 1% down. The Nasdaq was up 0.06%. The East is mostly red. Sydney, the exception, 0.25% higher. Tokyo is 1.5% down. Hong Kong is 0.8 down and 10 cent 0.6 weaker. Commodities all red. Gold futures 4,079. Brent 6,382. Platinum 1,560. Palladium 1,413. The Rand is 1710. Bitcoin 95,300. And top 40 green open 360 points, 0.33% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Jimmy Muyaha. Jimmy, appreciate the early morning time. I don't know, I was going to say as expected. I don't know that it was expected, but after the US market closed, Standard & Poor's Global, the rating agency, changed our credit rating from, we're still 2 notches below investment grade. We've got a positive outlook. It's a big story. I mean, it's been the sort of global financial crisis. Last time we got an upgrade, it's all been one-way traffic. It's an important step. It's another step. It is a long journey, but it is good news for the country and the economy.
Yeah, morning, Simon. It's absolutely good news for the country, especially if you consider all of the challenges that we've had to contend with in being downgraded in the first place. I mean, the fiscal outlook wasn't looking as positive. The ratings agencies didn't believe we could have or get the situation under control. We had also since been graylisted from a FATF perspective. So to turn all of these things around and start to show more optimism. Again, this is the first time that we have received a ratings upgrade from Standard & Poor since, I think it's over 20 years at this point. So that's a clear indication that this doesn't happen very often for countries like South Africa. And for an emerging market like ours that has to contend with the challenges we've had to contend with, this is a positive move. Now, again, as you rightly mentioned, it doesn't make us yet investment grade, but it is showing that we could potentially return to that status. At some point, we were investment grade as a country.
Yeah, we have been there before. And this is, I mean, it's baby steps. It's step by step. And that's the point. There's the other agencies as well. We've got Moody's and Fitch. Moody's are usually very late to the party, but we'll wait and see what we hear from them over the year. Richemont came out with results on Friday. And there's a lot of luxury out there. There's Ferrari, there's LVMH, there's Kering, all the different luxuries. But Richemont almost sits in a different place in that they got like proper expensive stuff. They don't have handbags, they don't have whiskey. And I got to say, they kind of knocked it out the park. Stock was up 4.5%. On a big down day, this was good numbers from them.
Absolutely. Revenues up around 10%, profits up around 7% for the half year. The luxury space is a tricky one. We often look at the space, and you and I speak about the space, saying that it's a barometer of discretionary spend, particularly on a global scale. And to see the Chinese markets come back to the fold in favor of brands like Cartier is very telling of exactly where the spend is going at the moment, especially at a high net worth and an ultra high net worth, a level from whether or not you're, as you said, investing in the Ferraris, investing in the supercars, the jewelry space is also in and of itself a unique space. Sometimes it tends to hold a value a little bit better than perhaps your luxury handbags, your luxury leather goods. So Cartier as a brand has always had that staying power in the market, particularly in the jewelry space. But of course, Richemont owns other brands within the stable. I mean, Richemont, the Richemont Group, the LVMH Group, the Kering Group, very distinctly different luxury brands, but also holding, also basically functioning as holding companies for other luxury brands. So when you start to see the performance of either of these three groups start to turn, you start to perhaps see a different perspective on how the market is perceiving luxury. Very, very consumption-driven demands, and very little to do with whether or not the pricing makes sense or the rationale here. Again, this is probably the pinnacle of discretionary spend for the rich. So to see that is a very good indicator of how confident the rich are feeling around certain things or around certain market conditions.
Yeah, I like that. It is. I take your point. Absolutely. It is like pinnacle of spend for the rich. We'll leave it there. Jimmy Moyoha, I appreciate the early morning time. Our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter, is back to that investment upgrade. How long before we become investment grade? I mean, this is a process. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen this year. Can we get it next? Maybe a couple of years. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Is Bastien Tohiba. He's Chief Investment Officer at Prescient Investment Management. Bastien, appreciate the time. The G20 summit kicks off shortly. No America attendance at all. Does it matter beyond optics if America isn't here? They are. I mean, to be clear, they remain the political and economic powerhouse, notwithstanding the last couple of months.
Thanks for having me on your show, Simon. First of all, it certainly matters. Not only is it the largest economy in the world, but also a strong trading partner for us in South Africa. Having said that, let's not take away from the fact that this is a massive opportunity for us in South Africa to show how credibly we managed to get reform momentum going, that we're doing the right market-friendly things. I think the spotlight is on us, whether America is part of this or not, and we must use the opportunity.
And we do have a little bit of some good stories to tell. I mean, we got off the grey list. We chatted around that ahead of it a few weeks ago. We had a decent-ish medium-term budget policy statement as well. There is some good story to help, and it will put, you know, people looking at South Africa who perhaps wouldn't have in the past.
100%, that's right, Simon. And don't forget about the inflation target being lowered to 3%. That also helps. So yeah, the last couple of weeks have shown that we are doing the right things. Once again, that's great. And you must keep on get that momentum going and keep at it. There's obviously but there's obviously a risk that we overrate these events. These are all important events. We need to get them right. We got them right. But there's also a bigger macroeconomic picture at play, which we must be careful to not lose sight of.
That is perhaps the key, the more important point is that, yeah, there's a lot we can highlight, but the road is long. There's a lot of structural stuff we need to do. Some of it's happening, Eskom, Transnet, but Transnet is still very much early days.
It is early days still for our SOEs in general, but even there, we are seeing green shoots. We're doing the right things, and it helps. And I think it also says a lot about the political will of our new government. And hence, headlines around South Africa recently have just been positive, which is great. We've seen stronger bond returns, we've seen a stronger currency, we're seeing stronger equity returns. But again, absolutely crucial to see this in the context of the bigger picture. Equities, bonds, and emerging market currencies have rallied across the globe. So let's not get too zoned in on just South Africa.
That's a good point. We're loving it. We're patriotic. We're liking to see, you know, new highs and strong rands. But a lot of the bigger picture is around that global interest rates and a general sort of shift to emerging markets to a fair degree, outside, of course, the sort of AI and the US.
That's 100% right. So the path of developed market policy rates set for lower interest rates, that's obviously what helps. And then also we avoided the government shutdown finally in the States. Mm. We had good news, not just in South Africa, but also in global markets. And that's obviously what's pushing risky assets. Risky assets are pushed. We in South Africa generally benefit. But yeah, as I said, it's the policy making globally. It's inflation expectations. It's risk premium. Those are the core global drivers which you need to keep an eye on. And that hasn't changed despite the positive headlines in South Africa.
You mentioned the change to inflation target. MPC has been looking at they use the word anchoring at 3%. We've now got the finance minister saying, yep, 3% is the target, 1% either way. In a sense that, you know, it means lower inflation. But for the longer term, that's good for an economy. It's good for investment. Lower inflation is just good all round.
100% that's right. So it creates a more stable macroeconomic environment. It creates investor confidence. It creates the ability for our government to eventually fund at lower rates because risk premium compress. That alleviates the pressure or the burden on the fiscus, and that eventually makes room or opens the door for upgrades to our ratings. So it's good news all around. And I think the most positive part of the budget there was exactly what you said, Simon, that we got an uncompromising go ahead from Treasury to go for that 3% target. There were no ifs and whens attached. It was just a green light, and that's obviously very positive.
Yeah, and of course, next MPC is 20 November, so TikTok. You put a note out recently, and the part I loved, and it ties into what we've been talking about, data over drama. We can sing from the hilltops, we can get excited about what's happening on the local scene, but it really is more data than sentiment. It's about an evidence-based process. Otherwise, it does just become sort of unrepeatable and, frankly, probably not an efficient process. It needs to be evidence-based.
That's exactly our thinking, Simon. So we believe heavily in macroeconomic now costing, market implied signals, looking at FX rates, at interest rates, credit spreads, using a robust model and generally using even fancy tools like natural language processing for monitoring how the Fed is speaking. And that's what enables us to separate signals from sentiment. And that's what you eventually have to do. The headlines are always the ones which are grabbing our attention. But to achieve long-term investment success, you need to make more informed, smarter decisions and eliminate those human biases, which often drive you in the wrong direction.
You mentioned the Fed. I mentioned MPC. Are you thinking around rate cuts at either our MPC or the Fed in December?
Yeah, most definitely. So we are fully priced for another, not fully priced, but 90% priced for another Fed rate cut in December. Before that, we've got the MPC, and also there we are now priced for actually one more cut this year and then more cuts next year, which means, we're on a good trajectory for lower interest rates, which is desperately needed, not just in South Africa, but also in the United States. So things are looking positive on the back of that. The risk to markets is now that the Fed reacts too slowly, right? So they have cut interest rate recently. They are cutting again, but they must keep on cutting because the real interest rates, even in the States, are still too high.
Yeah, it is those real rates. And in South Africa, they are eye-wateringly high. We'll leave it there. Bastien Rekhiba, Chief Investment Officer, Prescient Investment Management. Appreciate the time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Scott Cooper, an investment professional at Marriott. Scott, appreciate the time. Some big picture, talking particularly US markets, the AI stocks, and we know who they are. It's a handful of them. They're pretty much what's driving US markets so far in 2025. And truthfully, to a degree, global markets as well, with, frankly, outsized concentration.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the S&P 500 at the moment, you know, it's comprised of almost 50% of the total market cap is technology companies. And a lot of these companies are obviously, you know, hyper-relevant, excellent companies. But at the same time, there's definitely significant concentration risk that's building up in both the S&P and global markets at this point in time.
And it is. I mean, you know, investors are enjoying the ride up, but it heightens that downside risk. To your point, they're great companies, but they've also got some eye-watering valuations in some cases.
Yeah, very much so. And I think, you know, from our side, from the asset management perspective, our key objective is to provide investors exposure to some of the higher quality companies in the sector, to do it through really through companies that have proven their ability to reliably grow earnings and dividends through the cycle. To be able to do that and also to find reasonable entry points, given a lot of the, as you mentioned, eye-watering valuations at this point in time.
And that's actually a great point, because some of them, I mean, earlier in the year, Alphabet, I think, was on a PE of around 16. It's now, you know, raveled up again to, I don't know, mid to high 20s. But there are some valuations there at points. You've got the Smart International Equity Portfolio, and that's kind of how you're looking to do it. You're not saying we don't want tech. You're saying some tech, but let's make it reasonable and let's look elsewhere for quality companies as well.
Yeah, very much so, Simon. You know, we're obviously a quality-based asset manager, but at the same time, there are other asset managers globally that really have leaned into this quality-focused investment, all with their slight different nuances in terms of their take on quality. But what we really looked to do with the Smart International Equity Portfolio was to blend a number of these high-quality asset managers from around the world, blend their core kind of equity quality-focused portfolios, and then to diversify that with also providing a component of low-cost trackers within the portfolio as well.
Let's quickly touch on that tracker, the passive part. I mean, there is some of that passive in there, not necessarily a heck lot, but it kind of gives you, I suppose, the market beta to a degree, which means you have got some of the tech, the AI throw in the fund and then kind of surrounded with those qualities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the top 10 underlying holdings in terms of the companies within the blended portfolio, you'll still see a lot of technology companies there, but they're there chosen carefully on good valuations and at reasonable concentration. So, you know, if you look at our technology exposure, for example, at the end of September, it was closer to 25% rather than the overlying S&P 500, which was closer to 50%. And so really looking for exposure to the theme and other high quality companies as well, but doing so in a sensible way for investors.
And when we're saying high quality, these are companies, good brands, sort of reliable earnings, strong balance sheets. I mean, I almost want to say the cliche, the quality, which, you know, we can almost go back to Benjamin Graham of 100 years ago in terms of what we're looking for.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, there's a lot to be said for market leading companies with strong balance sheets that can produce strong free cash flow, stable margins, and are able to reliably grow their earnings and dividends through the cycle. It's the reason why so many of these companies have been around for 50, 100, 150 years. Just the ability to adapt to the prevailing market conditions and to continue to churn out strong and reliable earnings growth over time.
And with so much money chasing the tech, chasing the AI stocks out there, I imagine there must be some really attractive valuations in that space. It's almost an overlooked sector by a lot of investors, I suspect.
Yeah, very much so. I think there are different nuances when it comes to investing in the sector. I think we're always very aware of, you know, of valuations and valuations versus historic averages. But I think there are, if you are prudent and careful about it, there are plenty of opportunities in the market at this point in time as well.
And an important point of your Smart International Equity Portfolio is that you're not distributing dividends, as I understand. So they kept in the fund and essentially reinvested, continuing to grow.
Yes, correct. So we've chosen the accumulating classes of the various funds that comprise the portfolio. And the real benefit there is that you're not hit with, you know, dividends or any income tax over time. And you're actually able to compound the investment over time without paying tax on it. And it's only then taxable upon redemption. Yeah. So in that way, A, you pay lower rate of tax, and B, you're able to compound tax-free over time.
And that, in many senses, is the secret to investing. I know, you know, folks will say, dividends aren't significant, but, you know, give it 5, heck, 10, even 20 years, that compounding of the dividends, the reinvesting of the dividends is a humongously powerful driver.
Yeah, very much so. You know, if you're able to select a diversified range of high-quality companies and do nothing but hold them and allow things to compound over time, I think that for us is certainly a very good path for investors who are looking to build wealth in that way.
We'll leave you there. Scott Cooper, investment professional, Marriott. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. On Friday, I was chatting with Gary Boyson. He, of course, from Rand Swiss. We'd had the Rand briefly below 17 on Thursday. I think it got down to 16.98 or there's about. And we're chatting around that. The question is, where next for the currency? Just over half of you said, yeah, heading stronger. But, of course, it never happens in a straight line. The third said nobody knows. The rest were saying weaker from here. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome review and a rating in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow. Astral results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.